নমস্কার, কেমন আছো টু অল লাভলি সুপার মাদার্স। ওয়েলকাম টু সুপার মাদার আনলিশড। টুডে উই হ্যাভ এ গেস্ট হু ইজ এ সুপার মাদার অফ এ বিউটিফুল প্রিন্সেস অ্যান্ড আ রেনাউন্ড আর্ট থেরাপিস্ট। শি আন্ডারস্ট্যান্ডস এভরি মাইন্ড অ্যান্ড হেল্পস দোজ হু আর আনরেস্ট অ্যান্ড ডিপ্রেসড। শি ইজ ভেরি স্ট্রং অ্যান্ড ডিটারমাইন্ড in whatever she is doing in her life. So here I am not going to say anything more about her. So let's welcome and hear more from her. Hey Olenka, welcome to my show.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's a great honor.
So Olenka, share something about where you belong and about your childhood memories.
Well, thank you for asking that. I am originally from Poland. I currently live in Spain. However, I live majority of my adult life in England. So I traveled a bit, but I am a child of communism. I was brought up in Warsaw. I remember even now tanks, you know, army tanks being placed at the playground outside my house. But, you know, my memories were really good because I just played outside with other kids. You know, it was a bit grim if you look back on it. But my parents loved me. I was very fortunate to have two loving parents. My father was an architect and entrepreneur. My mother was a linguist and obviously brought us up as well. It was mainly at home. Unfortunately, my father died when I was 13 of cancer, and my mom, unfortunately, she ended up in hospital very soon later. And myself and my younger sister were pretty much ourselves for majority of time until we reached childhood. So when you're asking about where I belong, I think I belong more where my soul is and where my gifts are, because I don't really feel associated with Poland very much. Obviously, there has been a lot of love for that country, and I love my Slavic culture. But I guess the undealt grief of my mother, who became very clearly depressed after my father's death, and a lot of pressure on me and my sister to live, really. I mean, we were very lucky not to be taken by social services back then, looking back. So we decided we're going to get educated. So we both have 2 degrees. And my love for arts and nature sort of came through. And I decided to really fulfill my dreams and my passions and apply to different companies. I became a landscape architect and ecotherapist initially, and I flew to London. Yeah, that was another chapter. I worked there, well, over 13 years in art therapy.
Yeah.
Well, I was, you know, I was an emigrant in a living in a foreign country, trying to pursue my dreams with this undealt grief, I guess I was holding in my heart. I was happy because, you know, I was doing what I was loving, and I mean, it was hard work, but so again, I feel I belong where I can share my gifts with the people. So it doesn't really matter where it is. I mean, I love Spain where we live now, because I live on a farm high up in the mountains. As long as I'm close to nature, I feel like I'm really truly belonging.
Wow, that's lovely to hear. Everybody's childhood has lots of ups and downs, and there are time when you cherish those moments, and there are times when you feel like bit of disturbed in your mind, but still that's a part of our life, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like I have this strange resilience I cannot explain, you know, whatever I do, wherever I go. And a good sense of humor, hopefully.
You have developed those eventually because you have seen those moments which you have gone through. Those tanks and all in front of your house. Your father died when you're very young. So all these moments has already made you very strong and matured that what step next I have to take to make myself stand out in the society.
Absolutely. I guess the only thing I could add to it is my faith. I am not necessarily a religious person, but I do believe in higher power. And I must say that carried me too, you know, the connection to divine. However you perceive it, define it. You know, I don't have any particular reason to talk about religion, but I do have experiences in my life that I say, honest to God, I was saved by angels. Absolutely, serendipity. And because of that, I feel very grateful every day. I have lost not only my dad, but I lost the family I knew when my mom became very ill. And there was no adults around us to really guide us what to do next. All I said to my sister, you need to just do good, get education in whatever you want, because then you will, as a woman, you will become free, or at least you have more chance to do more in life. Yeah, I mean, that's what we did. I mean, this is not something that defines women, you know, having education or academic career. But I must say, it did help along the way, you know. I think it helped when I was in UK, because, you know, as a Polish immigrant, I wasn't perceived as a person who has to just wash dishes or work in a restaurant. No offense to some people who think about Polish people. I was working in my beloved landscape art therapy throughout. I was working with people with disabilities, people with mental health challenges, a lot of men and women and children with all sorts of challenges. And in the end, I set up around 30 nature reserves and big parks and gardens in UK, where nature was used as a therapy as well as art, because, you know, when winter comes, you can only do something indoors. So this is where I started really use art as well as a means of connecting to your spirit. And, you know, working with children heals the soul. So I got a lot of ideas from them, to be honest, and then lots of great experiences. So, yeah, I even had my own art studio at some point in London, but that was more for my own therapy and my sanity. You know, after working full day, I would just go home and I would just paint sometimes till 3 and 4 in the morning. I wish I had so much energy now with my daughter. But I'm a bit older now, I'm 45, so I guess I find excuse in that.
So here we have already spoke about your childhood memories and those moments. But Olenka, for every girl, marriage is always a dream. How did it happen to you? How you met your husband?
I was 37 at the time. I think I met my husband. So for some women and something, and trusting that if the right person comes my way and I feel that's the one, I will marry him happily. I wasn't dreaming about marriage. I was so occupied with my passions, to be honest. Being parks and gardens in Tokyo or Kazakhstan, you know, so I wasn't bothered. I'm sorry. I wasn't. Until I reached the point of burnout and I felt like, well, I was selling my herbs at the food festival, and that's where I met my husband, who was selling olive oil produced from Spain. And we totally connected, you know, not so sure about marriage straight away, but yeah, we felt that's the one, both on both ends. So I guess the, you know, if you're doing something you love, you already beam out this energy of acceptance, self-love, and I felt I just attracted the right person. He's from England, his name is Martin, and he's the father of my daughter, and he's a lovely man.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Olenka, motherhood journey is a long process, as we all know, and it has so many struggles and even achievements of those milestones which you love to see in your child. How's your pregnancy journey?
I feel very privileged and grateful to be a mother. I was told at the age of 21
mm-hmm.
that I will never have children for some hormonal reasons.
Okay.
I had some apparent condition to do with my thyroid, which I took medicine for. But miraculously, when I met my husband, 3 years later, we conceived naturally and there was no problem. I guess my pregnancy was I wouldn't say it was a bliss, but it was a fantastic time. I felt really, really great. I mean, initial 3 months, obviously being a little bit sick, but generally pregnancy was a fantastic time for me. I felt like on top of the world. And I was glowing and I looked apparently very beautiful. I don't know. That's what I was told. To get coming to my house for all the checks. So actually until 8 months,
mm-hmm.
you know, I read all books about natural birth at home, in pool. I had my room set up. And then I found out that my daughter, because I knew her gender, she was breached. So she was in a... I had it written in my birth plan, you know. So eventually I had a C-section, and I must say my recovery in postpartum was horrendous. I was bleeding a lot. I was my husband who was working at the time. So I was alone at home majority of time, only to wait for him in the evenings. And because I needed more care, he decided to... Maya. So I continued till she was 3 years old, and I all my, you know, natural,
yeah,
breastfeeding was super important for me to give her as long immunity as possible. Yeah, and I guess that was a challenge. I wanted to come in a hospital for a C-section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I still have a scar and I still sometimes cannot carry things, or I need to be reminded not to lift. I am not biased, but I am also very happy to be a mother of a daughter. My daughter is growing emotionally and physically very well. She is currently living in Spain. So yeah, I think the challenges are of the common thing, sleepless nights and not being able to have a village around you, like grandmother or mother or auntie or someone to come.
Yeah.
5 years, and I don't think we recovered from that time. We have a relationship with a partner and father of your child to keep everything in balance.
Nowadays, everyone is running to lead a luxurious life, but you have not chosen that path. Why?
I wanted to always live off the land, somewhere in the middle of countryside. I always dreamt about it, even in post-communist Poland, living in a very grim housing estate. Somehow I felt one day I will end up running a farm or having a big gardens around me. And that was always my dream. I always wanted to be self-sufficient. I wanted to have my own food grow, my fruits, and connect with nature as much as possible. To me, that's life, and that's a real connection with Mother Earth. And I'm really privileged and pleased to say I finally made it. Mm-hmm. I own a 1 hectare of beautiful land, almond farm, up 1,300 above sea level, looking to the sea and looking to Sierra Nevada mountains. So as we speak, I can see the snow on the mountains and I can see the ships. And sometimes on a good day, I can see Atlas Mountains in Morocco. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yes, it's absolutely beautiful. And I mean, the journey to self-sufficiency is quite a long one. Given the climate here is Andalusia south is quite, you know, it's a dry, hot climate.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a breeze and fog coming from the sea, so it's a bit of a microclimate. But coming back to your question, I've, as a landscape architect and permaculture designer, I've always worked with nature, not against it. I always trees. Even in primary school, I joined an eco club to fight for the climate change. I don't know. It was always in me. I can't explain. Nobody told me to do it.
And it's a good concept. Thought came in your mind. I think in very initial stage where you're just setting your life with your daughter, with your husband, and since she's also very small, and she's actually watching all this very organic way of living.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I mean, yes, she is very much a child. They call it here a child of a campo. Campo meaning wild land. And she knows already over 15 herbs that she can name on the walks with me when we walk here or hike. And she's very aware which one is a medicine, which one is poisonous, which one is just, to admire. So I feel that that's my legacy for her.
Yeah.
In this very disconnected world, I must say, and what's happening in the world right now, I'm building resilience in her that she can navigate in this life on her own one day. Being brought up in a foreign country amongst very foreign, different nationalities. There's about 67 nationalities here in our region that moved here. And also the harshness of living in the mountains, itself. It's not easy. I mean, it's not a luxury at all. So yeah, it's hard, but I cannot express so much. It brings me closer to myself than anywhere else. I love living in London. I love that part of my life, but I somehow felt amongst all these people and amongst all the busyness I was doing, I felt really lonely. I can't explain it. I don't feel it here. Okay, I'm with my husband and I'm not single, but there is a community here of people who try to live like we do off-grid as much as possible. And I guess we share this similar aspiration because we're not there yet. I mean, our aspiration and our luxury would be when we have our all year round vegetable garden sorted completely, so we don't have to buy vegetables from the shop.
Yeah.
We've got our chickens, we've been offered a goat and sheep, but we're not ready yet. After that, we need to learn a little bit more.
Yeah.
But we definitely up for it. And then almonds themselves, just beautiful trees. Come January, February, you've got a bit like cherry blossom in Japan. The whole mountain is filled with pink and white flowers. And then you've got a great seeds and nuts, that you can use for milk, for cookies. I mean, we're just doing it. How it just evolved like this, but it was my dream. I have been looking for a place, communities for a long time. Even when I lived in UK, I thought I would join some movement. I joined an eco village. But then I realized that it's all about politics, and I don't really want to be involved in politics. I want to have a simple life, enjoy nature, do my art in spare time. I'd like to do it now full time. That's my dream. But obviously, my project is running the farm and running the retreats and running art workshops, and obviously looking after my daughter, because my husband is working online as well. So yeah, so it's a lot to do, and I don't have any help. My family don't live here. I've got mom who is just visiting us, but it's not someone who can help on an ongoing basis. So yeah, we just rely on a good community. We have a wonderful neighbors, wonderful community that we, clothe and hold dear. And that's it, really. I'm trying to learn Spanish as much as possible, to connect to local farmers here and learn from them. It's exciting. It's a lot. It's a work in progress for sure for us.
What thought brought you to settle down in a suburb where the options of luxury things are very less? But despite you have chosen to live life that way because you feel you are very connected to the nature and you are very close to them, and that gives you ultimate happiness. But what about your child's schooling? How you are managing that life of her?
It's not easy because so far 40 minutes drive from our house, and it's easier, and she already does some of it. She's super fit. Her father makes sure that she is a one child. We felt that it utmost important that she has a connection with other children. Yeah, we chosen this nursery, which is fun. So I think Maya, my daughter, is doing fantastic there. I mean, she complements what she's already learned. I mean, she's quite advanced, I must.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so she full paintings now, and she is very skilled in that. Yeah, I think she's going to speak three languages fluently, so that's wonderful. And obviously nature connection, it's fantastic for her. So we shall see.
Nice. She's into so many things, and since you already told she started, you know, getting to learn lots of herbs, and she's also learning, she get to know lots of other kids in her classes, like which she's doing, I think, online. It's amazing because her growth is happening with very holistic approach, because her environment is quite organic, and you're already into art therapy.
Yes.
So she has been, you know, learning all those. That's a wonderful gift to her.
She's got also great connection with animals, I want to mention, because we have wild horses coming sometimes to our land. We have mules, and we have donkeys sometimes. We have dogs, chickens, you know, so this kind of compassion for other creatures, it's very important as part of her development. Yeah, I can see it really helped, you know, and looking after all these animals. Especially when you have no other sibling, that's been super helpful. I do nurture relationship with friends she already have. That's two boys and two girls that she kind of considers more than just friends. They're just like sisters and brothers already, and she's five. I don't remember having such friendships at this age, you know. I had my sister, but yeah, we would fight a lot. So I really feel glad for her that she has these friendships already, you know. Super important, super important. So I mean, despite our isolation, because we actually don't live in a village, we live on top of the mountain, and we do have to drive or cycle or walk, you know, to places, and people have to visit us. I actually feel I have more myself as a mother connections that I had in UK. At the time, I feel less isolated, which is quite a paradox, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe because we share similar values and similar visions. Yeah. I don't know what Maya's future will be. We're kind of led by her interest and enthusiasm for things. I'm not so worried about system school, which means that she's got a lot of options. As British citizen, she'll also be further homeschooled and go to after school clubs or other projects. Being also Polish citizen, she can do other things that are complementing the curriculum, like folk music and, you know, a special art and special traditions we Slavic culture hold dear. We do a lot of ceremonies, lots of singing, you know, lots of gathering together, especially around seasons. We just had our Samhain Polish Slavic Festival here in Orchiva that we organized, so she participated in that too. So yeah, I think, you know, I'm hoping her confidence is growing, and she already shows signs of leadership. And that's, I would say, that's the most challenging thing for a mother. I don't know about you, but she's a strong personality, although obviously she's learning emotional intelligence. I feel I need to hold space for her for being a leader, future wise leader. And that's not easy, because she doesn't take anything for granted. She challenges everything. Being Libra, she likes balance. She loves to see peace in the world. She doesn't like people arguing. So she is like a mediator already. She loves justice. She even told me she wants to be a policewoman one day. So we shall see about that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see.
So Olenka, you are also into art therapy, and mothers come to this retreat to relax and learn to lead a sustainable life. And recently I have seen you conducted a session on paint your ancestors. I love the concept. What is it all about, if you can share with our listeners?
Oh, well, painting your ancestors, it's really more like an art ritual, if I can say, because before you start to paint or create, you have to make space in your home or in your room. I mean, for me, it's a workshop space where I invite other women to join. We basically set up an altar and we put pictures of whoever wanted to bring their pictures of ancestors, family members, or even objects that remind them of their deceased. And we use fire and candles to honor first with intention. So we write the intentions for our ancestors. And in a circle sharing, we share about the loved ones or deceased, or we wait until a special stories from our ancestors want to come through. And that's done with also meditation and singing. So it's like a ceremony first. I guide women through mixed media process of painting either story or actual portrait of the ancestor. In fact, I've got another lady who is going to do a one-to-one session with me, because follow up from that workshop, she wants to address a certain family story. And with body mapping, it's a special soul art retreat kind of technique I use, we're going to work with her body and her body map, bring about some healing. So the art therapy is definitely in releasing, you know, some emotions that are connected to your ancestors and stories. And also it's a creativity. So using mixed media, what I love the most, and collage, we can just play rather than feel strict to, oh, it needs to be acrylic or watercolor. So we use patterns, we use intuitive painting or energy sketching, where we are blindfolded and we can just release a certain stigma around what we want to achieve. And, you know, drawing simultaneously or painting with both hands, making movements, can help to join two parts of the brain and release that, you know, the thought of being perfect. So you don't actually need to be an artist. And if I showed you, especially on my Instagram, what recently student created through this workshop, it just looks like of this world. I cannot take any credit for it. I was just guiding them. But we use very primitive, some artists say, technique, charcoal and white chalk on brown paper quite a lot. And that takes us all almost to like a caveman's drawings, if I may say. And that's a very primeval feeling that comes through you. And when it comes to your ancestors, you can get really connected to their stories. At the moment, I've got another workshop coming up, and I've got 5 women sign up again. And I'm really, really looking forward to this and see what other stories will come up. I mean, not to mention the actual art is spectacular, but the process itself, it's very liberating and healing for the individuals. It can be fun, it can be healing, can be deep, can be whatever the person is willing to give in this process. I feel very, very happy that I can facilitate that. It's something that I personally think working with your ancestors is so important right now in the world, to connect to the energy of your past and your history through generations. I get quite a lot of strength through that. I don't know about you, but I do get quite a lot of strength from and support from those who came before me. And they say that we are the dream they dreamt of. You know, our lives are dreams that they dreamt of. And if you think about it, it's quite a strong affirmation, because I am here in this world, a free woman that can do whatever I want in my life. You know, I have a freedom of speech, I can live the life I want. And that's quite a privilege for some. So yeah, the art therapy workshops, as I say, fun, creative, and super deep. If someone wants to cry, they can cry too, which is great, because they can release something and be lighter afterwards. And the sisterhood that is created through this workshop is also an additional plus. We create a lot of friendships, you know. I really would love you to attend one of these workshops if you are in Spain or, you know, online. I would love you to connect that energy of fun, creativity, and healing. Maybe you can one day. I welcome you.
Wow, that's so nice. Olenka Mai, this podcast for Mother Unleashed, this platform is for especially for mothers around the world. I would like to ask if you can pass on any special message to empower them.
Wow, mothers are not taken for granted. Mothers are creators. Mothers are powerful beings with unlimited energy and spirit that is so powerful that we mothers don't even imagine. Unless we meet other mothers and sit in a circle and share, we realize that we are not alone, and actually we can move the mountains. What is important to me as a mother is the time of self-love and self-care. So one of my art workshops and art retreats, it's all dedicated to the art of loving yourself. And that's my message. Don't forget about yourself. Treat yourself to even a 15 minutes of your time per day when you can just have your mind wander, or take yourself on a special artist date or on a walk, or have a bath, just yourself if you can. The world won't end. Your children will be looked after and loved, even if you take a little bit of time out, because this time is so precious. You can be a better mother then. You can be more emotionally available and more present when you love yourself more. So that's my message. More love to yourself, more self-care. And I highly recommend, because I'm an artist and nature lover, to spend as much time outside. And if you can, spend some time creating something. It doesn't need to be a masterpiece. It can be just a bird box or a little scribble on a drawing, or, you know, little sketch. It does changes the mindset. It does changes your thoughts and create a space within your head that is fundamentally precious. And I really welcome you to look at my Instagram and some pictures for inspiration, not only from me, from my students or other mothers who, when they come to me, they just said, "Hola, I cannot do anything. I am just a mother." I said, "No, you're not just a mother. You are the creator of life, and that's enough. You have to be honoring that." And that can be done through a little bit of time to yourself, and partly through creativity. I mean, that's just a part of what we can do. And yes, I feel that's my message.
That's so good. Those words actually will empower lots of mothers around the world. And I'm sure after this episode, whoever mother is going to listen, they will come to you. They'll come to you, experience new art therapy. And I'm sure this can be a great, massive success through this platform.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Soma. I wish that for everyone.
Even I would like to come and experience that soon. Let's see.
Anything is possible, Soma. Anything is possible.
True. Yeah, anything is possible.
I might even fly to India one day, you know, who knows? I might visit you too and run some workshops there.
That's what I'm looking forward.
Fantastic.
It was a super conversation with you, Olenka. let all of us carry her spirit within us, embracing our roles as mothers with pride, passion, and purpose. Let us remember that the world is waiting to hear our stories, share our laughter, and learn from our wisdom. Thank you once again. Thank you once again for joining us. We are very lucky to have you on our show.
Thank you so much, Soma. It was fantastic to have this opportunity to be asked these questions. Your podcasts are also the way to remind us that we are seen and our voices are important. So your work is super, super important in the world. And I feel grateful that despite the challenges of internet, we managed to get the voice out and inspire other women. So thank you for your wonderful work that you're doing in the world for mothers.
Yeah, we'll never give up. I mean, that's what I have learned it. And I'm telling every mother, please never ever give up on you.
Thank you, Soma. We made it.
So with that, we have come to the end of this episode. Please do share this podcast with your friends, your colleagues, and all the mothers in your network. I would also like to request all my listeners to please share your thoughts, views, feedback about today's episode. And if you have any topic on which you want me to cover on my podcast, please write to me. Would love to receive your comments. I will see you next week. Till then, bye-bye.